I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
If you have no idea what Chubby Bunny is, well, you're in luck. Our first installment of Chubby Bunny here on After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. It is immortalized on our YouTube channel, and we have just put the link up on both Twitter and on Facebook. It's going up very soon. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, if you want to know what in the Sam Hill we are talking about. I remember last year in April when we decided to do Chubby Bunny, I had to explain it to the other guys that I was working with. Now, Isaac was here at the time. Pete will be part of the second Chubby Bunny contest because he has to attempt to defend his title. I don't know. This accident he went through may have turned him into a softie. I'm not sure he's going to be able to hang. Chris may very well already have had his wisdom teeth out, in which case he could have a whole lot of problems sticking a bunch. Well, I guess you could act like they're cotton balls and you could just pack in those cotton balls to help you as you recover from your surgery for wisdom teeth. And so it's going to be interesting. We're going to tape it, both video and audio. So we'll be on microphone as well. And that way you'll get to watch it in all of its glory unfold here on the show. So that's coming up next week. What in the world have I gotten us into? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. 855-212-4227. What should the Wolves do with Jimmy Butler? And in the meantime, your myths and your games. I'm surprised that hasn't happened before now. Your myths and your games, baby. Send us your myths. Send us your best games. I mean, maybe the acorn did some damage when it smacked me in the forehead. That could be what happened. I guess I could claim that I have some type of concussion by acorn and that's why things aren't coming out, right? Except I do this all the time. What did I say last year during March Madness? It had something to do with, I mixed up the syllables for bracket busters. So it was like brusted brackets. I don't remember what. Somebody will remind me on Twitter because I got all kinds of you making fun of me, but that's just what happens. I get excited. I talk too fast. My brain and my mouth are not in sync. And then I move letters and syllables around. Brasted buckets. That's what it was. It was brasted buckets. Well, here's another one for you. Myths and games. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. And you're sending some great ones to our Facebook page. So far, my favorite meme to depict one Jimmy Butler is the Shaq that's on our Facebook page. It's awesome. But I've also seen some Steve Harvey. I've seen some little kid who scares me. There's some Jim Carrey. There's some Jack Nicholson. There's some Derrick Rose, which is kind of interesting. There's also a really emotional crying girl. I don't think she may have a name. I don't know what it is. If I'm not mistaken, that is Denzel Washington. So that's a good one as well. And shoot, I forgot that guy's name. The one who's walking with the miner's light on his head, and he's being all weird. He's in the Meet the Parents movies. Who's the guy who's in Meet the Parents? Ben Stiller. There's a Ben Stiller meme. Actually, that one's a GIF in there as well. So these are awesome. Check them out on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And if you're wondering about those videos and social media depictions that you sent to Twitter, well, Chris has used our show Twitter to retweet them After Hours CBS. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So again, we'll take your phone numbers. No, don't give me your phone numbers. We'll take your phone calls, and I'll continue to look through some of your tweets. Do you want Jimmy Butler on your team? Considering his raw emotion, raw honesty from Wednesday, and the fact that he's returning to practice. He missed playing basketball. I think that's a major piece of this. Not only do athletes give up money when they don't show up to fulfill their contract. So if they hold out, if they stay away, not only do they forfeit money and stand to pay a lot of money in fines. So it's almost a double whammy. They're forfeiting contract and they're having to pay a bunch of fines. But they also don't have that competitive edge either. It starts to dull and you miss it. And I will say, as someone who played college basketball, only college basketball, I didn't play at the pro level, but there's still no substitute, except for maybe a really competitive golf round. There's no substitute for that competition. And there's no substitute for going into battle, quote unquote, with your teammates. There's no substitute for that fire that filled me. I'll speak for me. I won't speak for anybody else. You don't get that competition really anywhere else once you're out of competitive sports, once you're out of organized sports, I should say. And so for Butler, he just hadn't played basketball in such a long time. It's one thing to shoot on your own. It's one thing to run drills, to run sprints, to, you know, to go through the motions and take a bunch of shots. It's entirely another to bang and to be out there on the court and to you know, have the contact and to, you know, to have somebody push you to the extreme. And so I can understand why these guys have a hard time missing it, because they, for them, that's what, you know, that's what draws them back. So I don't think he's going to hold out, but what if he doesn't get what he wants? What if he doesn't get traded? According to Rachel Nichols, he asked for the trade with Tom Thibodeau 4 days after last year's playoff run ended in the first round against the Houston Rockets. And it only just recently became public. So would you want him on your team? I don't mind the raw emotion. I don't mind the challenging of his teammates and the calling people out in practice, because it was behind closed doors. It was for their eyes only. This wasn't meant to be public. It wasn't like an Odell Beckham Jr. situation where he decided to call out all of his guys on national TV and refused. Not only did he question their heart and their intensity, but he also refused to back his quarterback. He refused to stand up for his guys. Can I just tell you what's happening right now in the studio? It's very disconcerting. I might need Chris to come in here and change the channel. I was watching NBA TV, but now they're doing an infomercial for this razor tool, and they keep showing men using the razor tool, like, all over their body. So one guy was just shaving his legs, another guy shaving his stomach, other guys are, like, shaving their faces, and it's very distracting and in some cases gross. I don't need to see anyone shaving. So anyway, right now it's on my TV set, and I'm holding up my hand in the air so I don't have to see it anymore. Oh, good, they moved on to a beer commercial. So hopefully they don't go back to the hairy infomercial. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The CBS Super Bowl season, that's Super Bowl 53 to you. It continues with a fantastic doubleheader coming up this weekend. First, and it's intense, physical matchup between two AFC North teams. I always look forward to these games. Pittsburgh collides with Cincinnati. Then you've got the NFL's top defense in Jacksonville heading to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Yeah, both those teams are in desperate need of a win. Sunday kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram Trucks, at 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on CBS. Ooh, week 6 already. Man alive. So this time tomorrow, we'll already have Eagles and Giants. And if the Giants fall to 1-5, as much as it's still not impossible, it makes that hole they're digging for themselves so much deeper. They finally got over the hump in scoring 30 points for the first time in 37 games, if I'm not mistaken, going back even before the Ben McAdone era, use my air quotations. But the Eagles themselves, they're also in a bit of a rut. They're not taking care of business on third down. They haven't been able to stay consistent offensively. Now they've lost Jay Ajayi. You can definitely see that Carson Wentz is, I mean, rusty may be an overused term, but it's kind of a catch-all. He's not yet back to that same Carson Wentz. Not that he isn't aggressive, but he's just not on. He's not locked in yet. And that stands to reason after 9 months away from playing football. So that's our first game, and that's a doozy right off the top. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Jimmy is listening in Hell's Kitchen. Welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, Amy, I love your show.
Thank you.
About Jim Butler, he's just looking to motivate his players.
You think?
Absolutely.
So this is just a ploy to be able to fire up the team.
Those kids are a lot younger than him. Mm-hmm. They haven't had the experience that he has had in the NBA. And he's been around players that love to win. And he knows what it takes to win.
His last couple of situations have been rough, though. The Chicago Bulls, as he left them, was a mess.
Absolutely, but he felt like he had to do what he had to do to go to a place where he can win, and now he's finding players making these big contracts that after they make their big contracts, they don't want to do it. They don't want to work out on the off season and put themselves in the position to succeed. I was in that position in college. So, you know, I played basketball in college, and, you know, he's just trying to motivate them to understand what it's like to win in the NBA.
All right. Well, they finally did taste some playoff success last year, but if they want to build on that and get past that first round, they're going to have to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, they had minor success.
You know, no, I agree with you. I'm just saying that they finally did get back to the playoffs after the first time. It was the first time in 14 years, 15 years. No, 03, 04, right? Yeah, so 14 seasons.
Minor success. It's a lot different than going to the NBA Finals and knowing what it's like to go bone on bone when you could just sit out, but instead of play.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the last 4 years.
My second point, Amy, if you don't mind me talking about this.
Nope.
Earlier this morning, I heard that through the internet and everything, that Major League Baseball ratings are down. And, you know, for the Yankees and Red Sox game, they weren't. But for other states in the United States, other teams in the United States, they were down. Just put the Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox against anybody every year, and your ratings are going to be up. What do you think about that? Can I get an opinion?
No, that's to me, if you're talking about fixing it so that those teams are in the playoffs, then what's the point of having a season? No.
The Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox against anybody else, like Milwaukee is a good story this year. And forget about all the other teams and just let them play in the playoffs.
Well, that sounds really
pretty outstanding to say, but
it sounds really boring after a while. Kind of like seeing the Cavaliers and the Warriors in the playoffs again. I mean, I was pretty done with it after 4 years, and the ratings were down this season for sure.
You're always going to have an underdog. You're always going to have an underdog, which is good, which is Milwaukee this year. But you're going to have the same teams in the playoffs, but the ratings, I'm talking about TV ratings, are going to be up.
Well, I got you, but so that's only one factor.
If you have stock in Fox and all the rest of these TV stations, you're doing well when those teams are in, but you're not doing well if they're not in.
Right. No, I understand it, but that you can't fix it so that TV ratings are better. Also, who cares? I'm not worried about the TV networks. I don't care if the ratings are up or down. I mean, I'm going to talk about it anyway. It's still sports, regardless of what happens with the TV ratings.
Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong.
Wrong answer, but it's very nice talking to you.
Thank you
for taking my call, and I love your show.
Oh, thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate that. Yeah, I feel like Jimmy is talking about a fix. You can't fix it just for TV ratings, and who cares, really? I mean, whatever. So if the ratings are down, they're down. But the networks will have to deal with it. They're not hurting for money, I'll just tell you that much. Neither is the sport. So I'm not concerned about them lining their pockets or needing to milk a couple more ratings percentage points. And I know I talked about this on last night's show because Alex Bregman was complaining that the Astros hadn't been in primetime. And so I was telling him and others why the networks make the decisions that they do. They're trying to increase the casual viewership, which then, of course, leads to higher ratings, which then allows them to charge more for advertising. That's the cycle right there. But when you're talking about which teams are in and which teams are out and trying to orchestrate it, I do not believe that networks or leagues are in any type of collusion or in any way are affecting what happens on the court, the field, or the ice for the purposes of ratings or matchups. If I believed that or if I thought that was the case, I wouldn't be able to do this job. If I thought that any outcomes other than WWE were predetermined, I would not in any way be interested in doing this job because for me, it's the human element. It's the surprises. It's the, you know, it's the part that you can't predict and you can't control. If I knew it was going to happen, I'm out, man. All right, 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you haven't yet seen our first installment of Chubby Bunny, Pete was the winner, but it's worth watching. It's up on Twitter. And then Chris just put it up on Facebook as well, so you can check it out. It's the YouTube video from last April. We will do our next Chubby Bunny. I still have the marshmallows. I mean, the bag isn't open yet, so hopefully they're not stale, but marshmallows have a pretty long shelf life, so. All right, so coming up, we'll talk a little bit about the Major League Baseball Championship Series. We got week 6 in the NFL. It's one of those nights where there are only 3 hockey games, which is kind of unique. In October, you don't get these kind of nights, but it gives us a chance to talk about the Jimmy Butler situation, the acorn that smacked me in the forehead somehow got lodged in my sunglasses, and we'll get set for what's to be a really intense weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation, manipulate my decisions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back.
Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
Good morning, Amy. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show. You help keep me awake and alert.
Hey, Amy. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to congratulate you by the way that you have been to the program tonight. I woke up about 1 something. Oh. I've been with you ever since.
Hey, God bless you, Amy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
Hey, Amy. I love listening to you.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Amy. How you doing? First-time caller. Love your show. Love you. Wonderful. In the words of Ric Flair.
Woo!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Our phone number is 855-212-4227. I'm Amy Lawrence, After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, and we are thinking of those of you who are in the path of Hurricane Michael. We want to give you the opportunity to donate to hurricane relief efforts and help people in the path of Michael. So text Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, to 90999. That's 90999 to donate $10 to American Red Cross Hurricane Michael Relief. It's an easy way and a safe way to know that you're making a difference and your money is going where it's supposed to be going, which is to relief efforts. Sometimes I worry when I donate, and this is why I never donate to an organization or a GoFundMe account or anything like that, that I can't do full research on, that I'm not exactly sure what is happening with the money, because I worry that it won't go where it's supposed to go and it'll instead go to overhead or line somebody's pockets. And in the case of the American Red Cross, you don't have to worry about that because they're always on the ground. They're among the first responders in the case of natural disasters. The last I saw, Hurricane Michael was over central Georgia, but extending up into South Carolina. In fact, the outer bands of, I guess what it's now a tropical storm, the outer bands of the tropical storm were almost into North Carolina and then were extending northward into Tennessee. And so it's a large storm and it's supposed to work its way up the East Coast. These are some of the areas that were impacted by Hurricane Florence not that long ago. And so it's good that it's calming. It's combing, and it's past Florida, and it's almost out of Georgia, but now into South Carolina. So I'm looking at a new video. It's into South Carolina, covering most of South Carolina, and on into North Carolina, parts of it already. So please be careful if you're in the path of that storm, and don't take any unnecessary risks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we're getting set for the National League Championship Series. And one of the themes that I really enjoy about this particular matchup is you've got two teams coming from opposite ends of the spectrum. You've got it's almost like the Super Bowl matchup a year ago, right? With the New England Patriots, who are just there perennially. And then with the eventual Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles, who had never won a title in their franchise history and, in fact, had run into the Patriots years before and had been denied that opportunity. And so this is now, and it's weird, right, because we think of the Dodgers as a behemoth, or a team at least that's always there. And yes, they did host Game 7 of the World Series a year ago, but they haven't won since 1988. Well, then you've got the Milwaukee Brewers, who haven't been in a World Series since 1982, and who are seeking their first World Series title in their franchise history, if I'm not mistaken. If I've missed that, please let me know, but I did some research, and I don't think they've won before. And they're not in this position since 2011. So neither one of these teams has won recently, but at least in the case of the Dodgers, they have guys with a bunch of experience. I know, you know, we all know that it won't be complete for the Dodgers. Nothing will ever erase what happened last year in Game 7 against an Astros team is just fantastic. But to get back there, at least you have the chance for some vindication.
We want to finish off what we didn't finish off last year. So that's been our focus since after that Game 7. We're in a position right now where we can give ourselves an opportunity to get back there. So, but you do that by playing good baseball.
Think about it. Going back to the end of October, the pain and the angst of losing that Game 7 after everything you put into it, you have to go through an off season in which you stew over it. There's nothing you can do about it. You're working out, but it's a long time to get to spring training. And then they start out just... it was awful. They even talked about being nervous when they got back out there on the field. And they end up 9 games back in their division on May 1st. And so they've got some major work to do. And they get it done. In game 163, they win their 6th consecutive NL West championship. And now they're on to the NLCS after dispatching the Braves. But wouldn't it feel like it was all for naught if they don't end up finally winning the championship? It's so hard. It's 162 games. It's months and months and months. But one thing that may be a not-so-secret weapon for these Dodgers is how well they play away from L.A.
Two teams playing very good baseball up to this point. And, yeah, they have home field advantage, but we've actually played better on the road than at home this year. And with our group, that really doesn't bother us.
Yeah, that's where the experience comes in. That's where it helps that you've got a group of guys who have, in fact, played before in critical games and been able to win away from home. And I like the fact that he points out that the Dodgers have been better away from home. It's weird, right? Because generally teams are so happy to be home. They're so excited to be able to sleep in their own beds, and they're comfortable in their own locker rooms and their clubhouses, and they know where everything is, and they know how to get to the ballpark, and there are no traffic or transportation concerns. You don't have to worry about packing a bag. But yeah, this year, this is so odd. They were 45-37 in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium. They were 47-34 when they were away from LA. Odd, but maybe helpful considering they don't have home field advantage in this NLCS against Milwaukee. Milwaukee doesn't have as much experience on these big stages, though they did bring in guys like a Mike Moustakas, who ended up with a huge walk-off hit for them already in this postseason.
The game was important, but, you know, we can't play game two unless we play game one. So we just focus on what we can, taking it one day at a time, all those old cliches. Man, they they're especially true in the postseason. You got to take them one day at a time, one pitch at a time. Again, that's a great ball club over there. And go out there, play the game, see what happens.
It sounds ridiculous, right? Cliches are cliches for a reason, but that's the point. You bring in a guy who can say to you, nobody freaks out. It's one pitch. It's one inning. It's one game. You take it one at a time. You don't look ahead. You don't start to worry about, hey, what comes next? You're in the moment. And that's where having veterans like Mike Moustakas, like, you know, some of the guys that they brought in, that's where it can really help. Because you have someone that you can go to who can say, okay, this is what it's like. This is how it's going to feel. And no, they can't live it for you. But having a Lorenzo Cain around, right? I mean, it's invaluable to be able to pick their brain and to recognize what changes in the postseason. So we're getting set for that on Friday. We've got Saturday, ALCS, on into the weekend. Let's talk some football next week 6. What a matchup with Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady and their respective teams. And of course, somebody had to ask Mahomes about Brady's legacy.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
There are a lot of different things that you could say about your team. My team is desperate for a win. There are a bunch of teams in the NFL this weekend that are desperate for a win. But also, they're hopeful because a win in the NFL this weekend for a lot of teams could put them at 500, could put them within striking distance of the division lead. I enjoy that about the NFL this year. I know it's been a bit of a topsy-turvy first 5 weeks, but that's kind of the beauty of it, is that right now, almost every team is still in it. Or as Bill Belichick says, no one's been eliminated from the playoffs just yet. Man, he was in a really awesome mood when someone tried to ask him more than once about the potential for this Chiefs-Patriots matchup on Sunday night being about two powers that could meet again, or that maybe they're the best of the AFC. No, wasn't having any of it. Good for him. We're 5 weeks in. We're not even a third of the way through the season, so let's not be crowning anybody champ just yet, aight? Or even telling me who's going to be in the AFC Championship. Yeah, raise your hand last year if you had the Jacksonville Jaguars getting to the AFC Championship and going through Pittsburgh to do it. Yep, no hands in here anywhere. Raise your hand if you had the Philadelphia Eagles winning the Super Bowl after they had lost their MVP-caliber starting quarterback.
Nick Foles don't got it!
No, he does. But I know you're being sarcastic. So come on, stop acting like you know what's going on in the NFL. The cool thing is that everybody, for the most part, even if there are some teams that are in little deeper holes, that there's nobody who's yet been eliminated, so there's still hope. 855-212-4227. My team is what? Fill in the blank. 855-212-4227 is our toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. I know that we don't have Chiefs and Patriots until Sunday night. However, I loved hearing from Pat Mahomes about Tom Brady. It's kind of funny. Do you guys remember last year as the Dodgers were using more of their young guys, relying more of their young guys, like Corey Seager, who had been up the year before and had won Rookie of the Year, but also Cody Bellinger. And the more that Cody made an impact on the team and made a name for himself, and he is the son of a former major leaguer, but the more that he established himself in his own right, the more people wanted to ask him questions. Do you remember when he revealed that he didn't know who Seinfeld was? He had no idea. I understand, as a matter of fact, that Chris is now experiencing Seinfeld for the first time. Is this something you're watching on Netflix, or how are you watching Seinfeld?
Yeah, I'm watching on Hulu. I downloaded it, and it was just one of the first shows I saw, and I was like, you know what? Let's do it.
So you'd never watched any Seinfeld before?
Just bits and pieces, walking in and out of rooms as a kid. My parents loved it, but I never saw it.
So how are you going in order? Is that what you're doing, going season by season?
Currently, in season 3.
How do you feel about it so far?
It's difficult to watch a little bit just because, living in the times we live in now, 90% of the episodes could be solved with a cell phone.
What?
And it kind of takes away from
it. No, it's way better that way.
It's,
I love that they still use their regular landlines.
I don't know. It's tough.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Yeah, that problem could be solved with a phone call. Seriously?
No.
Exactly. No, they it's a show about nothing. That's the great thing about it, is that it's a show about the stupid stuff that normal people encounter all the time. It's a show about nothing. I saw your tweet about how all of their problems, quote unquote, can be cured with a cell phone, and I was really annoyed. I mean, just because you've never lived your life without a cell phone doesn't mean that the rest of the world needs to rely on them all the time. Don't be trying to ruin Seinfeld. Don't be trying to ruin, oh, the best show of all time. Well, comedy, Friends. Don't be trying to ruin these things for me just because you can't imagine your life without that appendage attached to it. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. The point is, Cody Bellinger didn't know who Seinfeld was. Kind of, well, I guess Chris did know who Seinfeld was anyway. He's actually a real person. It's not just a TV show. And so I thought of Cody Bellinger and Seinfeld when I heard Pat Mahomes answer the question of what does he know about Tom Brady's legacy?
He's very young. But, I don't really remember those first few Super Bowls that he won. I remember the game, the Super Bowl, like the snow game and them kicking the field goals for the win. But not until I got older and then just seeing his success year in and year out as I've gotten older. I mean, it is truly special just to see all that hard work pay off.
He gets asked what he knows about Tom Brady's legacy, and he says, I mean, I was very young. I don't remember any of those early Super Bowl wins. Now, let's just say that's an incredible testament to the longevity of Brady and the ability of Belichick and Brady to elevate the level of play of everyone around them. Because obviously, Brady is playing with guys who also don't remember what it was like when he won his first few Super Bowls. And he's talked about that. I've heard it bits and pieces of interviews that he's done, including some of his sit-downs with Jim Gray. I wish Jim Gray would ask him to replicate what it's like when he sings along with you too. But anyway, we've got that, so we don't actually need him to do it again. Yeah, Brady's playing with guys who don't remember when his career started, so I think that's kind of interesting dichotomy in their locker room. But yeah, Pat Mahomes, it's like, I was very young. I don't remember what it was like to not have a cell phone attached to me all the time. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. One word to describe your NFL team right now. Or if you want to use a phrase, that's fine too. Let's see. This is a Cleveland fan. He says, after 5 weeks, my team is beginning to make an impact. Hashtag Browns. I love it. I love the stories in sports where teams and fan bases who've been either irrelevant or have been attracting attention for all the wrong reasons, the turnover, the losing, the drama. I love it when those teams finally get it together and they become contenders. Those are my favorite storylines because I think what goes around comes around in sports, but sometimes it takes a little longer for teams to come around. And if you had to wait, you've had to suffer for it. Sometimes you appreciate it more. And definitely the Browns fans appreciate the success that they're having early in the season. Greg says, my team, the Cleveland Browns, are on the rise. Justin, my team is back under control. And then he goes on to say, Tom Brady has his emotional support animal. Julian Edelman. I mean, I tend to use the analogy of security blanket, but if you need emotional support animal, I guess that's fitting as well. Well, let's see. Let's do a couple calls here. 855-212-4227. Jonathan is in Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours. How would you describe your team?
They're on the rebound. Steelers.
All right. So Steelers on the rebound. Do you believe it's a rebound that's going to last, or is this like a rebound from a bad relationship and a bad breakup?
hopefully it lasts. And I've always stuck up for Big Ben, but he's just, I don't know. He looked really good this last week, but he's just so up and down. I never know what's going to happen. I don't want to see Bell come back, that's for sure.
You don't want to see Bell come back. How come?
No, I know he's really good. Obviously, we all know that, but he's just, I don't know. You see where a lot of the players have gone that have held out, and most of them aren't playing anymore. So, and I think I like I'm drawing a blank.
James Conner.
Yeah, he's how he's looking. He looked great this past. I think he can this past game. I think he can do just as well as Bell. And he's from
I mean, about an hour away from where I live. So, I mean, I got a pool for him.
Cool.
And, yeah, I just think, I mean, if they can keep going how they're going last weekend, they're, I don't know, they look great. But like I said, Big Ben's always here and there, so hit and miss.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of teams in that position. There are a lot of offenses that are in that position. But this is the month where you got to put up or shut up. You got to find that groove or you're going to get left behind. So big weekend for them on the road at Cincinnati.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Cool.
Excited. My my uncle's a big Cincinnati fan, so, yeah, we'll see. Thanks. First-time caller. And
awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan. Enjoy the game this weekend. Derek is in California. Derek, what's one word for your football team?
They're ready for the 2019 season.
And which team are we talking about?
The 49ers.
Oh, you're just skipping the rest of the way. You're done.
I mean, I'm a diehard fan. I know it's still early on in the season, but with Jerick McKinnon going down during the preseason and then losing Jimmy G against the Chiefs and Richard Sherman playing here and there and Pierre Garçon, I don't know what's going on with that guy, but
agreed.
We'll see what happens the rest of the way.
All right, Derek, thanks so much for your phone call in California. His word for the Niners is ready for next season. Oh, don't give up yet. Although I like that he's a diehard and he's not going to stop watching. But, man, when the injuries start to pile up, there's not a whole lot you can do except for hang on for dear life. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.